here we are, and welcome to the first ever Brick House Award Show. I'm your host, Bob Johnson.
And I'm Tina Fey and Amy Poehler. And Matt Baker, also.
Well, you're looking good today, Matt. Who are you wearing?
Carroll College Football, Bob.
Lovely, lovely.
Yeah, provided by Chris Baker 6 years ago.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
A good year.
Yeah. It is award season, Bob. Everyone's doing their awards, throwing out the best actors, this and that. The Golden Globes are tonight.
Oh, are they?
Yeah. I'm glad you've been paying attention, which all the award shows, you have the SAG Awards, all that lead up to the big Oscars to do. But we couldn't wait.
Couldn't wait.
We had to Oscars it up ahead of time.
Not another week. There's a lot of awards to give out, but everyone who is nominated really should wear it as a badge of honor.
It's an honor just to be nominated, Bob.
Should we get right into our first award?
Of course.
Our first award, I think we might have to explain this one a little bit, because it's basketball awards we're giving out, but the first category is the award for Best Cinematography.
Best Cinematography, okay.
And what I had in mind with this is, you know, the cinematographer's role is to take something that looks normal and make it look like an awesome movie, right?
Right.
I mean, like, you could say some of our movie actors and actresses are caught without their makeup and people hardly recognize them. But it's also the cinematographer's job to make these movie stars look so great.
Of course.
Or in the case of, maybe the girl from Hateful Eight, you know, look hideous.
Jennifer Jason Leigh.
Right.
Sure.
Yeah. Have you seen that one?
I haven't seen that yet.
She gets punched in the face a lot. Spoiler.
Okay.
Yeah, so best cinematography for as it pertains to basketball is taking a player or a team and giving it a spin so it looks better or worse than it is in reality. So let's get right into it. The first nominee I have in the best cinematography category is Kyrie Irving.
Ooh.
Who managed to lead the guards in all-star voting in the Eastern Conference, or I think he's maybe second behind Dwayne Wade, but if the all-star voting ended today, he would be a starting all-star despite playing ten games
or whatever it is.
I think it's like five or
yeah,
less.
Yeah, yeah.
John Wall's not super happy about it. But I think, you know, the cinematographer in this one, it should either go to Kyrie or whoever came up with the Uncle Drew commercials, because
yeah,
those are pretty great and have gotten him a lot of popularity. He is a pretty good basketball player, I guess.
Right.
And he does have someone named LeBron James who's also campaigning for him, which
yep,
is pretty much like having Bob and Harvey Weinstein both in your corner.
Right, exactly.
So he's the first nominee, and the second nominee?
I have Kristaps Porzingis.
Ooh. Okay.
He's really brought a new shine to the Knicks, whether it's hitting game-winning three-pointers that don't count. There was one, he caught a rebound with his foot the other day and started bouncing
that.
It like a soccer ball.
That was cool.
People have temporarily forgot that this is the Knicks, Bob.
Right.
And I think
do they get a new owner?
I think everything else is the same. Porzingis has really brought a nice, clean look to this team that I think many people did not expect this quickly.
No, not at all. There was a lot of boos going around in New York.
Yes.
Well, that's a great nominee. The next nominee is Jerry Colangelo's hiring.
Ooh.
The 76ers have won 300% more games since hiring Jerry Colangelo. But, you know, the dirty secret is they only had one win before that.
Right.
What's his secret? Apparently, he told the guys in the locker room, you know what we should do? Occasionally, we should try to win a fucking game.
That's what Colangelo said.
That's a yeah, direct quote.
Okay.
I'm not fooled by this. He hired D'Antoni, Elton Brand. These moves are what Sarah Palin would call lipstick on a pig, Matt.
Mm-hmm.
The Ish Smith hiring was pretty good, but we'll just ignore that for purposes of the Best Cinematography Award.
That can count because it helped make the team a little cleaner.
Yeah, yeah, but it sort of ruins my point.
Oh, yeah, yeah, sorry.
About
okay,
him not
okay.
doing it.
Yeah, forget it, forget it.
Our next nominee.
I had a few choices. It was tough, but I came up with Chris Paul because Clippers are fourth in the Western Conference.
Right.
They're kind of floating under the radar. They've had a rocky go of it.
Uh-huh.
But I think Chris Paul has been good for the team as just the unifying factor through the DeAndre Jordan stuff. And they've all kind of been injured at certain points. But
DeAndre's his wife now in a insurance commercial.
Oh yeah, I saw that. He came I was had TV on mute, and all of a sudden I see DeAndre Jordan running downstairs in a wig yelling. I'm like, okay. But yeah, Chris Paul, I think it's more, this might be more of a lifetime achievement nomination, if anything.
Okay, yeah.
Just for this, the purposes of this category.
The last candidate for the Cinematography Award, I have your boy, Markieff Morris.
Oh, goodness.
I have to say, it is pretty impressive to take such a good player who's on a really good bargain contract and make that player look so untradeable.
Yeah.
That takes some serious effort.
Yeah, that's... Yeah,
it's either he's really lost his ability to play basketball without his brother around, or he is sabotaging his trade value to stick it to the Phoenix Suns.
Yeah.
Because, nobody wants him, and the Suns are going to end up having to give away a draft pick or something to trade him. And the award for the best cinematography in the Brick House Awards goes to... I got to give it to Jerry Colangelo's hiring.
Ooh,
Jerry
Colangelo. Can we have like an applause?
Yeah, there's a lot of applause going on. Colangelo could not be here to accept the award. He is being fitted for some Depends. He's old.
Okay.
That's an old person joke. Let's get into our next category, Matt.
Best screenplay.
Best screenplay.
For best storylines of the year.
Okay.
I'm handling these, right?
Take it away.
First nominee is the New Orleans Pelicans are terrible.
Yeah, that was a surprise.
That, to me, is a big storyline.
That's a twist.
Yeah. We all thought it was going one way, and it started down the road the other way. The second nominee is Luke Walton versus Steve Kerr in the Golden State Warriors' success.
Nice.
Is it Luke Walton? Was it Steve Kerr, or is it just the Warriors?
Yeah, I saw an interview with Luke Walton before they lost their first game, and the lady said, when you see Steph Curry dribble around four defenders, you know, falling out of bounds, make an amazing 3-point shot, what do you think? And Luke Walton says, man, I'm a good coach.
That's great. That's what he should think. The third nominee is Matt Barnes versus Derek Fisher.
Ooh, that is that's got it all. It's got romance, drama,
the worst
twins.
Year of Matt Barnes' life.
Rihanna.
Fourth nominee, Ben Simmons watch.
Oh, yeah. This is
maybe a very highly regarded prospect. Will this be the year that the Tankapalooza works for the 76ers?
Yeah, I think he wants to go to the Lakers. I think maybe that's why he went to LSU, is just get ready to wear that purple and gold.
Purple and gold, yeah. that's a good point. And the final nominee, can Cleveland get healthy enough?
Can Cleveland get healthy? That is what we're all waiting to see.
Like, they're finally when they play Irving, Love, and LeBron together, they're pretty unbeatable when those three start together. But will that be able to carry through the year?
There's a lot of drama in this category. Who's the award go to, Matt?
Oh, the best storyline of the year. You got to give it to the Golden State Warriors.
The Golden State Warriors. I feel like they're a favorite to win a lot of these awards tonight.
I think all of those nominees were good. I think it was tough between Matt Barnes and Derek Fisher. Might have been the dark horse in that category.
Yeah.
But it's just kind of hard to go against success. We've seen in past years that Daniel Day-Lewis, if he's playing Lincoln, he's winning.
Right.
And if the Warriors are winning, they're also
Luke Walton's the Daniel Day-Lewis of the NBA.
That's he's a great coach. All right, Bob.
And the next category.
Do you have like a funny monologue or like a musical number we can break these up with?
Yeah, we should have. We'll have some stuff in there. I have something to break it up for you. The analogies are back.
Oh, they're back.
Yeah, I wanted to compare some players and teams to some movies that are actually nominated for the real Oscars this year.
I love it.
Bring back a favorite from the Brickhouse previews. I saw this one just the other weekend. I'm going to try to give these without any real spoilers and say that The Hateful Eight is like the Los Angeles Clippers. And, you know, when I saw The Hateful Eight, I spent a lot of time counting the people in the movie because there's more than eight people, and I was trying to figure, like,
are the hateful ones?
Yeah, is this that? I don't know. Same thing goes with the Clippers.
The Loving Two isn't a good movie title, Bob, I think.
I mean, I love the Clippers myself, but it seems like I'm kind of alone on, you know, besides other Clippers fans. If you're not a fan of the Clippers, it seems like they're really the villains of the NBA. And I figure that, you know, if you had to pick, though, of all the guys on there who are the most hateful eight, then you'd have to say Chris Paul,
yeah,
complaining to the refs all the time. Blake Griffin, he just seems to have a face everyone wants to punch.
Yeah.
DeAndre.
For what happened over the summer.
Yeah, and dressing up like Chris Paul's wife. Doc and Austin Rivers, they're pretty hilarious. I think Doc Rivers is like the Kurt Russell character in this one.
Yeah.
Lance Stephenson and Josh Smith, they both had DNPs last night.
Amazing.
They were the only players on the Clippers who didn't play last night. And then you got to throw in Steve Ballmer. He's crazy.
Yes.
He's hateful. You don't get to $50 billion without breaking a few spines.
Josh Smith is in such a doghouse now that they could be down all their power forwards and they play Paul Pierce at power forward.
Paul Pierce went 0 for 8 from 3-point land yesterday.
Man.
And Josh Smith still didn't play.
Oh, jeez.
I don't know if you've heard about Jillian Zucker, Matt?
Sure. No,
I haven't. She is a executive that Ballmer hired over the summer and is responsible for the Clippers' new logo.
Mm.
She went to the Clippers' design team and said they wanted a new logo, and they said, that's great, you know, we'll be ready in 9 months, you know, to debut that. So not this season, but next season,
right,
we'll be ready to go. And she didn't like that answer. So she outsourced the Clippers logo making to the Miami Heat. I don't know if you know this, but what they came up with has been panned by a lot of people. Not the nicest logo the Clippers have ever had. So I figure Jillian Zucker can be what's the girl's name?
Jennifer Jason Lee.
Yeah, she's the one that people are punching in the face over and over again.
It's not a terrible logo, but you could have done better, I think.
Yeah, what's the rush?
Yeah.
What's the rush? Anyways, that's the Hateful Eight of the NBA. Let's get back into our next category.
I was going to say, very good. I was going to say, should we break them up as they do this song? When they play this song from the movies,
I have a tap number after the supporting actor category.
Okay, so we're on to supporting actors.
Actually, next I have makeup and hairstyle.
Okay, you take this one, Bob. This is all you.
Okay, the candidates for the makeup and hairstyling category. We got Anderson Varejao,
of course,
rocking the perm.
He's the Susan Lucci of this category. Will he win it after 17 years?
Yeah, he's a perennial contender.
Yeah.
I had to put Josh McRoberts in. I don't know if you've seen the Miami Heat's opening lineup video.
No.
But they have this opening lineup video. Normally, when they're doing the starting lineups, they'll play highlight videos of players making dunks and nice passes and fallaway shots. The Miami Heat's video is intercut with all the players wearing like designer clothes and standing around like they're in Zoolander.
Really?
They're all standing around like in, you know, floor length dusters and Gucci sunglasses.
Yeah.
Well, Josh McRoberts lets his hair down. Didn't really know, but you know, he's got some nice Shakespearean hair. I mean, he looks like some of the nicest hair the WNBA has ever seen, you know. Some of the other people who are nominated, Elfrid Payton. This is Bob's favorite for probably the next 10 years.
Oh, yeah.
He's got a bee's nest going on.
He's got
there.
Some funk going on.
He's the Daniel Day-Lewis of the hair category. Although James Harden is another nominee. Ooh. His beard probably makes more money than most small countries.
Yeah.
Especially after that Adidas contract.
Yeah.
So you got to give a nod to the beard. Jeremy Lin. Jeremy Lin has apparently told Spencer Hawes that he can style his hair any way he likes. And that's what's going on. Is before the game, Spencer Hawes is just doing bong rips and figuring out how he's going to style Jeremy Lin's hair.
Oh, so he's in
today.
Charge of... Yeah, I'm looking through some Lin hair here, and it's looking good.
Yeah, he looks like a Dragon Ball Z character one day, and Al Pacino the next day.
Now, the question with this category is, will Varejão and McRoberts take votes away from each other because they're on the same team? No, they're not on the same team. What am I doing? I'm smoking crack.
They both have the WNBA hair team, and that's what you mean.
I was the whole LeBron thing kind of confused me. I was like, yeah, they both play with LeBron, but all right.
Varejão really does have like a Cheryl Miller do, from back of the day.
Look at that. Here, I'm going to show you a picture on the podcast.
The upset win in this category over Elfrid Payton is Jeremy Lin.
Oh, he did it. Lin Sanity.
He did it.
Lin Sanity got that award that people have been predicting for years now.
Man, he's using a lot of product in his hair, so he's making the makers of whatever hair wax he's using very happy. Let's get into our next category. You got a nod to the foreign language film section.
Okay.
Let's hear our category or our nominees in this section. First off, I will nominate Yusuf Nurkic.
Ooh.
He's a fan favorite from the Brick House previews. Taught us all how to curse in Bosnian.
Mm-hmm.
Son of a riot police officer. And he's back on the court.
The main man of this category for almost 20 years now has found himself back. Dirk Nowitzki. Bob.
Dirkie Dirk.
Climbing up that scoring leader chart. Just being the fadeaway you can't block. The one-legged fadeaway.
Made more money than any European player ever. Another nominee, Kristaps Porzingis.
Ooh, second nomination of the day.
He's having quite the year. Just the other night, they lost to San Antonio by 1 point, but they came back from 17 down. Ooh. And Kristaps was a big reason why. I think he had 28 points, 13 rebounds, something like that.
Wow.
Our next nominee,
Tony Parker. Another career of long award. I can't talk today. I can't talk at all. They probably should have gotten someone to host this award show that could talk. What I meant to say was another guy who finds himself on this list every year.
Our last nominee is another rookie, Karl Anthony Towns.
Ooh.
Representing the Dominican Republic.
Okay.
He's playing well and competing with Kristaps for Rookie of the Year this year. Matt, you want to announce the winner of the foreign language film category?
If I could be a little biased here, he's not the winner, but it's hard for me to go against Dirk in anything. But this year, it's got to be Kristaps Porzingis.
Oh, you did like a Steve Harvey thing there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dirk's wearing the crowd.
Yeah.
Thought he would.
Yeah. Porzingis is just, like we explained earlier, he just kind of, even though we knew who he was, he came out of nowhere so quickly. And he's providing, every night, there's something, he does something.
I love it. I love it. And he deserves the win. Congratulations, Kristaps. On to our next category. This one is costume design.
Ooh, okay.
Costume design. I nominated right off the bat the Cleveland Cavaliers. I like their wine and gold motif. I can't quit it.
Okay, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I like it. It's nice.
Yeah.
Our next nominee.
Charlotte Hornets, Bob.
Charlotte Hornets. Okay.
Maybe it's a nostalgia.
Uh-huh.
Because I really liked the Hornets uniforms back in the day, but I like seeing that teal and purple running around. It's kind of an oddly soothing color combination.
Yeah, and they have the Buzz City alternate jerseys. Yeah. Have you seen those? The sleeve jerseys. Those are cool. I put the Clippers up as a nomination, not for being good necessarily, but just for being new. Get Jillian Zucker back in there.
Mm-hmm.
Nominate the Clippers.
I'm going to go another classic route, the Chicago Bulls.
They got a great logo.
Yeah.
Nice look.
It hasn't deviated much. I like when they bring back the cursive writing, too.
Well, our last nominee is not a jersey, but what Russell Westbrook was wearing to the basketball game the other night on TNT. It was a ripped Slayer t-shirt over a black and white striped, like, Beetlejuice-looking shirt that was skin tight.
Really?
Yeah. It was pretty baller.
Okay.
Yeah, it was really weird looking.
It's a last minute nominee. They snuck it in under the deadline.
Yeah, snuck right in there.
Yeah.
I'm gonna have to say the winner on this one is Russell Westbrook.
He did it.
You wear a Slayer t-shirt to the NBA game that's nationally televised and you'll win my heart.
Is that a legal thing to wear? I know they wanted him to dress nice, but will the NBA fine him for doing that?
Yeah, I don't know. I think that David Stern, the whole like dress code thing, is not something I ever hear about being enforced anymore. I think the whole idea was they just didn't want people to dress like gangbangers. And
mm-hmm.
if you see this Russell Westbrook outfit, it is far from hood.
I'm looking at it, and Westbrook getting the win.
Oh, well, let's take another interlude to compare a movie to a basketball player. Right now, I'd like to say that The Revenant is the Kevin Durant story.
Oh.
See, he's only 18 months removed from being MVP, but it feels like he's really left for dead this season with everyone watching Steph Curry and LeBron James. I haven't seen this movie yet, but I think it's probably fair to say that Russell Westbrook will be the Tom Hardy character.
Yeah.
I'm not sure, but in the trailer, he's either, like, hunting Leo or helping him, which is probably, you know, about how Russell Westbrook relates to Kevin Durant in this one. But, you know, Durant, he's had to survive all kinds of hell. You know, in the movie, it looks like there's a bear fight mm-hmm. and some other shit he has to survive. Kevin Durant, he just had a couple of foot surgeries. He makes, you know, a few $100 million. But he lives in Oklahoma City, and that's some kind of hell, man. So, pretty much exactly the same. So, that concludes that break. Let's get into our another category. We are getting into the big awards here, Matt. We got the directing category.
Oh, the best director. All right, I'll lob out the first nominee. He's already heard his name called earlier.
Yep.
Jerry Colangelo, Bob.
Jerry Colangelo.
As we talked about, he's led them to double the amount of wins that he had before. He got the big revenge win in Phoenix.
Yep.
And he's forcing them to right the ship, so he's trying to direct them to a good enough record so they still get last, but they're respectable-ish.
Get the rest of the league off their back.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. I like that. I got to nominate LeBron James. I mean, he's not only the star of the team, but he's the coach, the GM, mm-hmm. the mayor of Cleveland.
Yeah.
He's everything that state has going for him right now, because it's certainly not Johnny Manziel.
I had him on my list, too. third nominee. Same team as the first nominee, but for a different reason. Sam Hinkie, because he's directing them to the worst record in the league to try and get Ben Simmons.
This will be his masterpiece.
This is the one that he had to make a few of those movies just to show people he could make movies. But people finally realize, and they're letting him do what he wants with this movie. So. Same team as Colangelo, but a different reason, different directing take.
Nice.
It's kind of like a Grindhouse, Robert Rodriguez, Quentin Tarantino situation.
I like it. I had to nominate Luke Walton.
Oh, brilliant.
We've already heard his name today too, but you know, you don't go 23-0 without getting some of the credit. Mm-hmm. Oh, wait a minute. No, he doesn't get any credit. He's 0-0 on the record books. All of those wins have gone to Steve Kerr. But you got our nomination, Luke.
Finally, the last nominee is the Scorsese of this category. It's Popovich.
Oh yeah.
If Popovich is making a movie, people are going to see it, and people know it's going to be good.
Does that make Duncan his Robert De Niro?
Or / DiCaprio, right. / whoever, you know. So, yeah, he's just finds his way into this category just because of who he is.
And I'm going to have to say the winner of this category is LeBron James.
Oh, LeBron. You can't. It's hard not to give LeBron that. When you're doing everything, when you're selling the concessions, when you're making the tickets, when you're playing the games, he's doing it all.
Yeah. And on the Brick House Awards, you know, there's only two of us voting, so we don't have those problems of, like, the King speech
right.
coming up. You know, we didn't see, you know, Tom Hooper pulling the upset on David Fincher this year.
Yeah.
We don't stand for shit like that on Brick House Awards.
Yeah. How about an actor category?
We have an actor category coming up here.
Best actor in a comedy / musical.
Love it. Love it. Let's hear it.
Do you have any award nominees for this one?
Oh, I do.
Okay, good. I got some. We got a man with a big mouth that I think whenever he talks, it could sound like music.
This could be anyone on my list.
We got Draymond Green, Bob.
Nice.
He's the first nominee. He talks a big game. It's comedy. I wouldn't be surprised if he sings all the time. He kind of hits both categories. Draymond Green.
I like it. Well, you know, we had to nominate DeMarcus Cousins.
Oh, yes.
DeMarcus Cousins. Just the other day, gave George Karl a high five after he got a technical foul.
After Karl got a technical foul? Yeah. See, if you want to get in DeMarcus's good graces.
Just berate a ref.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He is awesome. He is the Will Ferrell of this category.
Yeah. But coming on strong is our third nominee.
Oh?
J.R. Smith.
Oh,
Bob.
Yeah.
I knew he had to be on your list. He
hoverboarded right in there.
Yeah. Just jacking up all the shots. Wants to sleep through practices. We all saw this. This didn't take a lot of... There weren't a lot of billboards for J.R. Smith, because why spend the money? We all knew he was going to be nominated.
Yeah.
They didn't have to send screeners for him. We knew this was happening.
I love it. This one, I would say, is like The Martian being put in with the comedies in the Golden Globes, but Kobe Bryant.
He was on my list, too.
Gotta put it in there.
Yeah.
You don't announce your retirement, go to Philadelphia, it looked like he was going to shoot every shot that game. He shot the first four shots, which were all three-pointers.
Clanked them all, right?
Well,
no, he made one.
He made
right?
like three out of his first four.
Oh, that's right. Then he missed like his next 12 or something.
Yeah, then he proceeded to go 0-13 the rest of the game from behind the line. But yeah, normally he would be in our drama category, but mm-hmm. this year he has got a circus following him everywhere.
Speaking of circuses, Bob, our fifth nominee.
Yeah?
Jeff Hornacek.
Ooh, okay.
This one hits a little close to home.
Yeah.
But it is a between the Morris stuff and the Bledsoe injury and just the rotating Kentucky backcourt, it's pure comedy out there.
Robert Sarver. Someone put a microphone in front of him and he just talked about how millennials can't deal with setbacks.
Yeah.
And Jeff Hornacek decided to take the whole team bowling, you know, because they're all millennials.
Yeah. Yeah. They might all be too young to be millennials, actually. That's how young they are. But I think, you know, the winner of this category, he's really why the category exists. I think we got to give it to J.R. Smith, Bob.
Gotcha.
If you've listened to the podcast the past few months, he's always popping up in some form.
He's the king of comedy.
He really is. Him, Steve Harvey, D.L. Hughley. Didn't they go on that Kings of Comedy tour? I don't know. Anyway.
Let's compare another movie to basketball player. Mad Max, I gotta say, is like Russell Westbrook, and similar to The Revenant, you know, it's, I feel like Westbrook's life is a never-ending chase scene through the wastelands of America. And I'm talking about Oklahoma. That's all I got for that one.
Good, good.
Let's get into our next category. Ooh, just a couple left. Actor in a supporting role.
Oh, I only have one nominee, as yeah. I stated, Bob. Draymond Green.
Draymond Green.
I don't want to show my voter bias here, but I just didn't.
Yeah.
I didn't even want to spend time thinking about a second or third.
He's like J.K. Simmons in Whiplash this year. But I did nominate just for funsies. I got LaMarcus Aldridge on here.
Okay, I like it.
He moved from being top dog to chase some rings with the Spurs, and he had to take a back seat to.
And he is. His stats are. He's money is up.
Yeah.
His stats are down.
Yeah. Some of the other nominees, I put Klay Thompson on there.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly because I love the hashtag Claytheism.
I haven't heard that one.
Also, I put DeMar DeRozan and Kyle Lowry together as one nominee.
Okay.
They're the stars of the Toronto Raptors who are hosting the All-Star game this year. I think that hopefully they'll probably both be All-Stars, but neither one is really a superstar. But combined, they make a pretty awesome backcourt.
Yeah.
I also put Kevin Durant in a supporting role this year.
Ooh.
Westbrook, in his absence last year, has turned into a freaking runaway train, and
yeah.
Kevin Durant is having a great season, but Westbrook is really the star of that team now.
Hey, you know, Christian Bale won a supporting actor Oscar for the boxing movie.
Yeah, it doesn't make him any less of an actor at all. Well, the winner here, yeah, it's no surprise, Draymond Green. Draymond Green, yep.
If he's not getting triple-doubles, last night he didn't have a triple-double. He just had a gross 25 points, Bob.
Wow.
And like two or three of everything else in every category. This was no contest.
This was his category, yep. Let's see. The Big Short, I hope, is not going to predict the next NBA lockout. We had an NBA lockout in 2011, and now the teams and players and league is making more money than ever with this new television deal.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's anything like the mortgage crisis, that's going to happen all over again, just because everyone is so damn greedy.
Yeah.
Let's get into our second-to-last category, acting in a drama.
Ooh. First nominee, Ty Lawson.
Interesting. I like it.
He might have a problem, Bob, with with DUIs. He got traded for 50 cents on the dollar from the Nuggets to the Rockets.
Right.
That was in the midst of a couple DUIs. He kind of gets sat for Patrick Beverley from time to time.
Sure.
It's a very drama filled up and down. Yeah, he's got a lot going on.
Yeah, really not living up to the expectations I set for him personally.
Yeah.
I nominated Jimmy Butler.
Ooh.
He's in Chicago, and he's turning into one of the best shooting guards in the league, but he has a drama with Derrick Rose.
You know,
he doesn't like to admit to it, but it seems like every game that Derrick Rose misses, Jimmy Butler like turns on the nitrous boosters.
Yeah.
Just wants to show, like, this is my team. We don't miss Derrick
Rose.
Yeah,
we don't miss him at all. George Karl is
nice.
Our third nominee.
I like it.
Because of the Kings.
Yep.
It just, that's all. It's just the Kings.
That is a drama, all right. Mm-hmm. I put Stephen Curry in here.
Ooh.
You can't say that wasn't the drama that had the whole country captivated there for a while. I think that maybe if they had lost that game to the Brooklyn Nets early in November, the game that went into overtime. In fact, Brook Lopez missed a layup with time expiring that would have ended their win streak, I think, like in the single digits.
Right.
But since that didn't happen, they rolled off to 24 straight wins, and Stephen Curry somehow doubled down on an MVP season and has become so much better.
Our final nominee, Kobe Bryant.
Oh.
The Lakers actually kind of have the best of both worlds. They're getting the goodbye Kobe tour and they're getting playing time for their young kids.
I saw a quote from Mitch Kupchak who was saying, you know, normally we would want to make giving time for our young players to develop, but since Kobe has had such an amazing career, you know, we need to use this season to honor him and let him play as much as he wants.
Yeah.
And the real message in that was so clearly to me.
Yeah.
We're just making money and tanking, baby. You know we got to be one of the three worst teams to keep that pick.
Banking and tanking. Banking and tanking, Bob.
We gave away picks just to get Steve Nash, and he never even played for us.
Yeah. Okay, I gotta get the winner on this one.
Please. And
it's George Karl, Bob. Yeah. The minute he stepped into that role... The drama.
So we should do fire our best player.
There was no shame. He had one goal, and that was to create drama, and it pays off. The award of the night, Best Picture, Bob?
Best Picture. Best Picture after I tell you who was Star Wars this year.
Oh, okay.
The biggest movie of the year that no one can stop talking about is obviously the Golden State Warriors.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen this movie yet either, really to the chagrin of my friend Peter. He calls me like every day.
Oh, you still haven't seen it?
No.
I saw it for a second time yesterday.
It's almost too fun to fuck with Peter about this at this point.
Right.
Just invites me every other day to go and see it. Have you seen it? What are you doing tonight?
Yeah.
Well, he's probably seen it 3 or 4 times.
You better see it by next Saturday, because if he comes to your house and you haven't seen it, you might end up part of the barbecue.
Yeah. Well, I think Curry is clearly Luke Skywalker, only so Draymond can be Han Solo, the wisecracking cool guy. That would make Klay Thompson Princess Leia and
he is cute.
Andrew Bogut Chewbacca.
Yeah, he is hairy.
Let's get into our final award of the night, Matt. The Best Picture.
Best Picture, first nominee is obviously the Warriors.
Yes.
They may not win. You know, you don't know what's going to happen, but you can't not put them in there, because then it would just look like you're taking money from the other pictures.
Yeah. It's like the Lord of the Rings not getting in the nomination.
Yeah.
I put the Morris twin drama in the best picture category, with the most recent chapter, the aforementioned Robert Sarver saying millennials can't handle setbacks. I put this out there early in the season that perhaps when the Suns traded Marcus Morris to Detroit, in fact, it was Markieff that went.
Oh, yeah.
And I think if that story ever came out, that would be the best picture.
It would be amazing.
The best picture of the year.
The third nominee is James Harden attempts to shoot himself to the scoring title.
Yeah.
It might not happen. That's why it's attempts.
Uh-huh.
But I'll be darned if he isn't trying every night.
Yeah. Someone in Utah the other night tried to shine a laser pointer in his eyes. Did you see that one?
No, but I'm sure it had no effect.
He was pretty pissed. He feigned like he was going to throw the ball into the stands.
Yeah.
He was mad.
No, I mean effect on him shooting. I'm sure he shot, you know.
Oh, yeah. He'll put him up regardless.
Right.
The next nominee I have just happened the other day. CJ McCollum got left off the roster versus the Clippers.
That's crazy.
I didn't know that could happen.
Yeah, they kept him off the scorecard so he couldn't play.
Right. And apparently they were, it's so stupid of a thing that the refs and some representative from Portland went over to the Clippers bench to explain what happened to Doc Rivers. And they asked Doc Rivers, would you just be okay if McCollum played anyways? And Rivers was like, hell no.
Yeah. Got to hold him accountable, Bob.
On Jalen and Jacoby's podcast, Jalen Rose made the point, if the refs made a bad call or something, you wouldn't say, oh, no, you should give the other team the ball.
Right.
You know? So I had to put that in the nominees.
The final nominee, and this is, it may sound boring, but again, it's just so true, the San Antonio Spurs because they are creeping right behind the Warriors.
Yep.
And would anybody be shocked to see them take the Warriors for the one seed by the end of the season?
Not shocked at all. Yeah. I think, you know, Steph Curry is going to keep playing through a little shin pain to make sure that doesn't happen.
Right, but like it might not and probably won't, but we wouldn't be surprised if it did.
Yeah.
Who's the winner, Bob? You got Best Picture.
The winner, well, if that Morris twin drama ever came through, I would give it to them.
Oh, yeah.
But until then, you got to give it to the Golden State Warriors.
You got to.
They're making more money than Avatar, and they're going to break the Bulls record. So that's it. That's the winner. That's the first annual Brick House Oscar Awards.
Hey, it's been fun, Bob.
Yep. Yep. I'm your host, Bob Johnson.
I'm Matt Baker.
Follow us on Twitter at BrickHousePod. And you know, I finally got you an email address.
Oh,
Matt.
Thank you.
I got you, Matt@BrickHousePodcast.com or Bob@BrickHousePodcast.com. Send in your nominees for next year, and we'll be sure to forget them before then.
Bye.